Our message this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about unity. And we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. The Apostle Peter says, "Finally, all of you, having unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart and a humble mind, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. For it is this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing." Now, in today's world, I think this is a scripture that we need to take to heart. 1st of all, and importantly, he tells us to have unity of spirit and sympathy and love for one another, a tender heart and a humble mind. Then in verse 9, he goes on to tell us, do not repay evil for evil, abuse for abuse. Now, I can't speak for everyone here, but I'm a human being. I think we all are. And this can only be accomplished through the Spirit of God, because through our own spirit, how do we want to repay evil? How do we want to repay abuse? Our natural instinct, when someone does us wrong or does an evil to us, is to try to pay them back. But the Word of God tells us to act in a different manner. That's how we were called. So if you have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within you, then you can in fact not repay evil for evil, can you? You cannot repay abuse for abuse. And I was thinking on this, as I said, because of the state of the world that we live in today. We see a lot of evil. We see a lot of abuse. And I don't know the answers. I know we have to pray about it. We have to turn to the Lord about it. But I do know that the answer, the biblical answer, would not be the same as we have many politicians tell us the answer is today. And I know if we are called and we have His Spirit, that we will rise above the desire to repay evil for evil. And that we will have unity. You notice there it told us to have unity. Now I believe that unity is talking about is among us, the believers. He's not talking to those who are doing evil to us there. He's talking to us. He's saying that we should all be in unity. Each one of us here should understand His Word and be in unity on these things. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, I believe we hear basically the same thing. It tells us, "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common." See what it said there? The whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. What does it mean to be of one heart and soul? To be of one heart and soul, would it not mean that if one of you hurt, the others would hurt also? We should be so close as a group that we literally know when one of us is hurting. And we also need to be humble enough to admit to the others when we are. This world teaches us to be strong. This world teaches us to hold within ourselves the struggles that we might have, the pains that we might be feeling, physical or spiritual. The Word of God teaches us as a group of believers to do the exact opposite of that. It teaches us, in fact, to be open with each other. And when I say the world teaches us to hold it in ourselves, it's like David was talking about a while ago. You come to a point where you don't feel like you're a part of this world. And the Scripture tells us not to be a part of this world. And if we're truly not a part of this world, if we're a part of His family, then we have to overcome the world, which is Satan. Everything of this world is of Satan when it talks of worldly things. We have to overcome that. We have to become humble. And I don't mean weak when I say humble. Many people misunderstand humble and think it means weak. It does not mean weak, but it does mean to be open with one another. If you suffer alone, then you're truly not following what we were called to do. We should share our sufferings with one another. And I'm guilty of this. I'm probably more guilty than anyone here today. I was raised in a way I think most all of y'all know here today, my dad was Jewish, and as the Word of God says, we come from a stiff-necked people. My dad always taught me, you don't share nothing with nobody. You share something with somebody, they know how weak you are. Now, thank God he came to the Lord late in life. He didn't die like that. But he taught me that growing up. And to put aside the things that we're taught when growing up in these worlds is difficult. It's very difficult. So I'm not saying what the Word of God tells us here today about unity is easy. Matter of fact, David mentioned Joel Osteen this morning. Yeah, you know, those of y'all that know me know I'm far from Joel Osteen. I preach to you that the Word of God tells us the way's hard. It's not easy. It says the way's hard, the road's difficult. It does have some glorious moments, though. And it does promise us peace. And a lot of people have a hard time grasping that. How it can be hard and bring peace? But that hard road does bring peace. And part of that peace is we should have unity together here as a group. And I do believe that as a whole, our small congregation here has unity with one another. But I also know myself and some of the others here have that problem of being a little too prideful. When we're hurting, we hide it instead of sharing it. And I'm encouraging us here today as a group, follow what the Word of God here says, be in unity of mind, heart, and soul, and not to take our burdens on ourselves, but share them with one another. Because you will find when we share our burdens with one another, no matter how difficult they may seem, when we share them, we speak them out loud, we share them to someone else, suddenly they lose a lot of power. Especially, I have found, if there are spiritual difficulties. Physical also. I think it helps to know that others care. Certainly, when we're mentally struggling with anything, if we do not share it, it gives Satan power. But if we share it with each other and we have one another praying, it takes the power away from it. And suddenly, it's not that big a deal. I want to move to Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not into your own interest, but the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, a lot of us think about that last part where it's talking about the Messiah. But the beginning of that tells us what? For us, be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing selfish from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. And look not to our own interest. What is that telling us? That is telling me that I need to put Brother Jim's needs before my own, or Sister Peggy, or anyone here. That is saying David needs to put Carolyn's needs before his. Each one of us needs to put the others before ourselves. And guess what? If you do that, if we all did that, you know what we would find? Every one of our needs would be filled, because while we're worrying about someone else's needs, someone's worrying about ours. And truthfully, there's two things in this world, when you're in the Spirit of the Lord, that will make you feel really good. One is if you do something for someone else. And another is if a brother or sister does something for you. So if we follow these scriptures, then we will find that our needs will be being fulfilled, and we will feel much better than if we just did them on our own. Because while someone else is taking care of ours, we're taking care of someone else's. And as I said, this is exactly opposite of what the world teaches us. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, why did the Messiah die for us? Because he loved us. Because he told us that exact thing. He said, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friends. And that is what I go to do. He went on to say, no one takes it from me. I lay it down myself. Love binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, if you love somebody, are you going to do evil to that person? No. If that person loves you, they're not going to do evil to you. But remember the first scripture we started off with. It goes back to the hard one. Loving those that do evil to you. Repaying good, or repaying evil with good. We also have to remember that and not lose sight of it, because that is one of the hardest things we're commissioned to do. But importantly today, I want to speak more upon the fact that us as a group, we have to lift each other up. We have to be there for one another. We have to take on each other's burdens. And we have to share with one another. We come here once a week on the Sabbath, and I think we all enjoy our time of fellowship and worship together. But we need to be in contact with each other more than once a week. Each one of us here, not just those that we know that are sick, that we're pretty good about those we know are sick contacting them. But sometimes someone's suffering and we don't know it. Because I do believe that's something we need to work on. We need to be a little more closer in contact with each other. That's the only way we can be of one heart, one soul, one mind, and in perfect unity spiritually, isn't it? And then John chapter 17. The Messiah is talking. And we're going to start in verse 20. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, how he told us there to do what? To be completely one. And by us being completely one, the world would know. Did you notice that? That the world would know. The world will know him. That's what it's telling us there. That the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you love me. So it's saying that if we love each other literally to the point that we're one, that through that love the world will know that he was sent. We can be a testimony to the fact that Jesus was in fact the Messiah by our love for each other to the point that we are one. And what greater thing can we do than witness to the fact that he in fact was sent? Because you know, in this world today, David mentioned the Orthodox Jews earlier this morning. The Orthodox Jews deny that he's been here. And we all know that. But we can deny that he's been here by not following these instructions, by not being in unity with each other, with not loving one another, You can say you believe he was here and you believe he was Messiah, but if your actions don't live this, you're in fact denying him also and denying the fact that he's been here. It's an important thing for us to remember, because he tells us in John chapter 13, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples. So, can you be a disciple of the Messiah and not have love for your brother and sister in Messiah? You cannot. If you do not have love for each other, and you say you're his, you're nothing but a liar. The Word of God tells us that. It's very plain. It's very clear. And it's abundantly important to understand. And I am not in any way insinuating that we as a group here don't have love for one another, because I believe that we do. I'm just encouraging this morning that with the world we live in, the times the way they are, and as short as I believe time is, that we need to do a better job of showing that unity with each other and staying in contact with each other day to day, not just once a week. Because, you know, when we studied Revelation recently, I did the little series on Revelation with y'all, I think we came to the general consensus that at any point in time, a lot of things could start happening in the world. Now, if that sixth seal was open and a major earthquake came and stuff on a Wednesday, I don't know that any one of us in here would know where the other one was. We need to do a little better job of staying in contact with each other. That's all I'm appealing this morning. I know that I love everybody here, and I feel like everybody here loves me. But I want us to have this true oneness and unity, spirit, heart, and soul that he's telling us to have. And I believe that is the perfect way for us to testify to for him, is what it's telling us, is to have that love for one another. And he is the one that taught us that. All the way, whether we look at the New Testament scriptures or the Old, he is the one teaching us that. And in Psalms, I'm going to turn to Psalms 133. As soon as I can find it here. Psalms 133 and verse 1. How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. Now, I believe that would mean brothers and sisters both. But how pleasant and good is it when brothers live together in unity? It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls off the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessings, life forevermore. Eternal life. How good and pleasant is it? Now, as I pointed out today with these scriptures, I believe we need to be in perfect unity with one another. We need to remain constant contact with each other to the best of our ability. And we need to remember that the Messiah is the one that taught us all of this. And it's a little bit off a subject, but I'm going to briefly touch on one scripture here. Because in our Messianic community, in our Messianic churches, people have a tendency lately, they have tried to go a lot more toward the acting like Orthodox, which is not what we're supposed to do. And everything that I've said this morning comes directly from him. He teaches us that about love and unity. So I want to read something here in Matthew chapter 23, in verse 8. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. Now, when we're in perfect love and unity, and one heart and one soul and one body, we ain't supposed to elevate anyone above the other, are we? David's our Torah teacher here. I bring our message here. That does not elevate either one of us above anyone here. And when we start forgetting that we have one teacher, and we start doing like a lot of Messianic churches are doing, start trying to call someone rabbi. So the word rabbi means great one, honored one. When you look up the definition of it, it'll have a footnote that says what Jewish people call their teacher. But the actual definition of it is great one, honored one. Well, you know what? There's no one here today, and there's no Jew in this world that can ever be as great or honored as one that lived 2,000 years ago. He is our teacher. The word tells us that. He is our one and only rabbi. And, they skip this verse right here because it couldn't be any clearer. You are not to be called rabbi. Now, how can you misunderstand that? No Messianic church anywhere should be calling a man rabbi. Because we as Messianics, which has the exact same meaning as Christian, it's just a different language. What are we professing? Who are we professing to believe in? We're professing the Messiah. The Messiah Yeshua, translated Jesus the Christ, the one who there is no other way to the Father except through him. There's no other way for us to have this unity that we're talking about this morning, except through him. He is our guide. He is our teacher. He is the greatest Jew or any other nationality to ever walk the face of this planet. And no one, through titles or any other way, should try to elevate themselves to be equal to him. No one, through titles or any other way, should try to elevate themselves to be any better than the weakest, smallest, poorest member of their congregation. God is not a respecter of persons. We're all equal, and we should all be in unity, and we should all place the other's needs above our own. When we do this, we will find that peace that he promises us. All right? And I want to go to one last scripture upon this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Be unmovable. Be steadfast. And your labor will not be in vain. And all based upon these scriptures we've looked at this morning, how are we supposed to do that labor? Together. Not one person above the other. Not one person carrying the torch for everybody. Together. each one of us in perfect unity of spirit, heart, and soul together. All of us. None of us are better than the others. Always try to remember that. And I hope someone has taken something from our message this morning that they needed. And let's stand and say our blessings together, please. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.